With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. Concerns over aquatic invasive species have led Yellowstone National Park officials to ban the use of felt-sole boots or waders and to set a boating season during which watercraft inspections will be available. Park officials say rubber-sole boots will be allowed because they trap fewer organisms and can be cleaned with water and a scrub brush. The boating season will run from May 26 through November 4th. All watercraft entering the park must have a boat permit and a Yellowstone Aquatic Invasive Species inspection before launching in the park. Watercraft subject to inspection include boats, canoes, kayaks, and float tubes. Inspections will be available 7 days a week at various locations in the park. Yellowstone follows Glacier National Park, the Blackfeet Nation, and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes in banning felt-soled waders. In Montana, boat check stations will start opening this month to catch boaters who overwintered down south and are now returning home. The Wyoming legislature has passed a proposal to collect a fee at Yellowstone National Park to fund wildlife conservation efforts in the states surrounding the park. The measure, which also involves neighboring Grand Teton National Park, was approved today and now goes to Governor Matt Meade for his consideration. Proponents say the idea is to generate money for Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho to deal with issues like wildlife collisions, disease, and migration routes. The Wyoming resolution does not specify how the fee would be assessed or what the amount would be. The economic benefits of Montana's Medicaid expansion outweigh its cost to the state. That's according to a study released today by researchers at the University of Montana. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Bureau of Business and Economic Research economist Bryce Ward told a legislative oversight committee that even though Montana will soon start paying a larger share for the Medicaid expansion that is jointly funded by the federal government, in Montana, the program pays for itself. Ward's analysis says that it infuses hundreds of millions of mostly federal tax dollars in new spending in the state's healthcare sector.
When you have that much new money circulating in your economy, you get a bunch of economic activity. We estimate that it's roughly 5,000 jobs and roughly $280 million in personal income each year.
Ward says Medicaid expansion has a positive fiscal impact on the Montana state budget, and it reduces cost of traditional Medicaid by more than $40 million. State lawmakers will debate the merits of the state's Medicaid program over the next year. Montana's Medicaid expansion program expires in 2019 if the legislature does not vote to continue it. Ward's research was funded by the Headwaters Health Foundation of Western Montana, as well as the Montana Healthcare Foundation, which has given MTPR grant funding for healthcare reporting. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Two University of Montana students have been arrested after a clerk and a customer were injured in a shooting at a convenience store near the campus. Based on a tip, University of Montana police arrested 19-year-old Ivory Bryan and 18-year-old Chase Munson at a dorm yesterday. Bryan faces a charge of attempted deliberate homicide and is expected to make an initial court appearance Friday. Officials in the county attorney's office declined to say if Bryan had an attorney who could comment on his behalf. No charges have been filed against Munson. Officers say two men wearing dark-colored hoodies walked into a convenience store before 4 a.m. Tuesday, and one fired shots at a clerk and a customer. Both have since been treated and released from the hospital. Lawmakers in Congress are calling for a hearing and investigation into sexual harassment at the U.S. Forest Service following the departure of its chief amid sexual misconduct allegations. U.S. Senator Steve Daines of Montana said today he is calling for a congressional hearing, saying that he wants to ensure, quote, bad actors are held accountable. Daines says Forest Service Chief Tony Took made the right decision to retire days after it was revealed by PBS NewsHour that Took allegedly had relationships with former subordinates and was under investigation. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue has appointed a former wildland firefighter to lead the Forest Service in the wake of the abrupt retirement of its chief as he faced sexual misconduct allegations. Perdue announced the appointment of Vicki Christensen in an email to employees today. Lawmakers from both parties in Congress expressed outrage over the latest in a string of harassment allegations that have shaken the Forest Service in recent years. A state judge is scheduled to hear arguments tomorrow in the Montana Innocence Project's effort to overturn what it says are the wrongful convictions of two men in a 1994 murder. The victim's family argues there was plenty of evidence to convict Freddie Joe Lawrence and Paul Jenkins in the death of Donna Marr. Montana's snowpack was well above average during December and January. That's according to the latest statewide water supply report from the Natural Resources Conservation Service's Bozeman office. So did the good news continue in February? Here's Edward O'Brien with the answer.
Let's put it this way. With tongue firmly planted in cheek, the NRCS coined a new word to describe last month's snowfall.
Februaried. I think that's the best way to describe what happened across most of the state.
That's water supply specialist Lucas Zukowicz.
So we built on the strong early season, and we've continued to see the consistent storm patterns coming through the state, putting down a lot of snow in some areas, and we are well above normal for our snowpack for this time of the year.
The Natural Resources Conservation Service operates 90 snowtell, snow measuring devices, throughout Montana and another 39 in Wyoming.
Correct. 25 of those set new records for February snow totals, so we are referencing snow water equivalent, or the amount of water contained in the snowpack, and 21 of those were the second highest on record, and a few of those were only a tenth or two-tenths away from being record-breaking themselves. And if we go out to the third highest on record, we could probably include another 40 sites, so well above normal snowfall for the month of February.
Most records occurred in the Upper Clark, Sun Teton, Marias, Upper Missouri, and Yellowstone River basins. Montana statewide snow water equivalent is 140% of normal and 139% of last year. There's one notable exception to all this good news: southwest Montana's Centennial Range, which is lacking both adequate precipitation and snowpack. Zukowicz hopes for a slow, easy runoff season as the temperatures begin to warm up. His reasoning is twofold. One, to avoid potential flooding, and two, an early melt-off could accelerate the summer wildfire conditions.
But weather is going to dictate that, and so the weather forecast is going to be pretty important as we get into the spring.
Anything is possible between now and July, but right now, stream flow prospects look to be above average in most locations across the state. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Climate planners in Whitefish released the city's climate action plan for public review and comment this week. Nikki Willett reports.
Last year, Whitefish Mayor John Mulfield pledged the city would uphold the Paris Climate Accord. The city council voted to adopt a goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 26% of the previous year's levels by 2025. The new Whitefish Climate Action Plan is a joint effort by the city, Whitefish Schools, and a nonprofit called Climate Smart Glacier Country to outline what an increasingly volatile climate means for the city and recommend ways the city can reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Mariah Gladstone is the Energy Corps member for the city of Whitefish.
There's lots and lots of different things, and one chapter is dedicated to buildings and energy, but we also talk about consumption and waste. We talk about forests and watersheds.
The plan addresses a range of potential mitigation and adaptation actions, from converting city streetlights to LED bulbs, to building a solar array to power the city's new wastewater treatment plant, to using native and drought-resistant plants in city landscaping. The planning committee will accept comments now through March 19th. Final revisions are expected March 28th. The plan will be submitted to Whitefish City Council for a public hearing on April 2nd. More information is on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Willett, Montana Public Radio.
I'm Olga Kramer with Montana News. Montana's congressional delegation is criticizing President Trump's order to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, saying that the decision will harm the state's farmers and ranchers. In an audio statement, Republican Representative Greg Gianforte was blunt.
These tariffs are a bad idea because they could lead to Montana ag products being shut out of foreign markets.
Democratic Senator John Tester's statement described this decision as, quote, instigating a trade war. Republican Senator Steve Daines pledged in a press release to support Trump's, quote, efforts to make better trade deals for the American worker, end quote, but said that he remained worried about tariffs leading to higher costs for Montana farmers and ranchers. Michelle Erickson-Jones is the president of the Montana Grain Growers Association. She says farmers worry that U.S. trading partners will retaliate with their own levies on U.S. agricultural imports.
So when we put a tariff on something that seems totally unrelated, such as steel and aluminum, we fully expect that agriculture will be the first one to be retaliated against. Retaliation is really our big concern.
Erickson-Jones explained that the economic effect of tariffs isn't about immediate price fluctuations of agricultural products, but about their long-term outlooks.
When you're dealing with trade, a lot of the effects are very slow to be realized. There will likely not be any concrete movement in the market. But what it does establish is, for decades, is market share.
With 80% of Montana's wheat being exported, Erickson Jones says the threat of losing international markets is serious. I'm Olga Kramer, Montana Public Radio.